Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chaf Hey. We left off on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Bamem Mefaisin, which is two lines before the lines get wide on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored anonymously in memory of Nachman Daniel Ben Aryeh C. Morris, Achrona L'Vracha Dani Morris, who was learning Daf Yomi amongst all his other many Siddurim at Yeshivat Shalavim before he was Nifta last week, and his father Aryeh is a regular participant in our daily Daf Shir, and Dani was also a regular participant in our daily Daf Shir. It's also sponsored Lila Nishmas Yechiel Gershon Ben Yisrael Avram Halevi by his family, the Neshama Shavna Aliyah, and the family should have a Nechama. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today when they would do the Pious, when they would do the Payasos, whether they wore Big Day Kodesh or Big Day Chol. Were they ready to go, meaning they were wearing Big Day Kodesh so that as soon as you were Zocha in the Pious, you're ready to do the Avoda, or is there something they're wearing Big Day Chol and then whoever won would have to change into Big Day Kodesh? The Gemara is going to give the Svara for each opinion and the source for each opinion. Then the Gemara is going to tell us that the Gemara is going to prove that the Lishchas HaGazis was half in Kodesh and half in Chol. It had two doors, one that opened up to Kodesh and one that opened up to Chol. The Gemara is going to prove that that had to be the case, because for what had to happened in the Lishchas HaGazis, it was impossible for it to be entirely in Kodesh and impossible for it to be entirely in Chol. There was some sitting that was involved in the Lishchas HaGazis. You can't have that in Kodesh because then Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchus Peis David Bilvad. And then we're going to see the Mishnah toward the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph that's going to describe the second pious for that decided who got to do the different parts of the Karban Tamid. And there are 13 different parts of the Karban Tamid. So the Gemara is going to talk about, did they do 13 different raffles, or did they do one pious and then distribute based on that to all the 13 different people, meaning the guy who won and the 12 guys next to him got to do the different parts of the Karban Tamid. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to question whether the person who does the Shechita or the person who does the Zrika did the Kabbalah. Who is the one that got to do the Kabbalah, the Shochet or the Zorek? And the Gemara is going to bring a Raya that it's the Zorek, in fact, who is Mekabel, because the Kabbalah is right in between the Shechita and the Zrika. There's a Shechita, then you got to be Mekabel the Dam, and then there's Halacha, you bring it to the Mizbeach, but Halacha is Lavavoda, and then you do the Zrika's Adam. So which one? Is it the Shochet or the Zorek that ultimately that does that in between avoda of the Kabbalah Saddam? And then the Gemara is going to have four different opinions as far as the order of the limbs that were brought on the Mizbeach with the Karban Tamid. There were so many different parts of the Karban Tamid, 13 different payasos as far as bringing up the different parts of the Karban Tamid. So in what order did they bring it up on the Mizbeach? So let's begin two lines from the where the lines get wide on Daf Chav Dalet and Beis. Bameh Mefaisin. Bameh Mefaisin means simply which begadim did they wear when they were doing the pious. Kohanim certainly in the Beis HaMikdash have to do the avoda in Big Day Kodesh. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Vasisa Big Day Kodesh la'aron achichal l'chavad l'tiferes. So at the time of the pious, it was necessary for them to already be wearing the Big Day Kodesh. Rav Nachman Amar be Big Day Chol. No, they were wearing Big Day Chol at the time of the pious, and then whoever won would turn up on his Big Day Kodesh and would go do the avoda. Rav Sheshes saw Big Day Kodesh. Rav Sheshes says no. Even the pious was done be Big Day Kodesh, and whoever won would right away be able to go straight to do the avoda. So what's the svara for each opinion? Rav Nachman, I'm a Big Day Chol, they would dafka wear Big Day Chol diyam, Big Day Kodesh, because if they were all already decked out in the Big Day Kodesh, ikka bal Yisroos to chamsi v'avdi. Some people try to jump in and do the avoda. People, bal Yisroos, who lost, who didn't win the pious, but they're already wearing the Big Day Kodesh. What, I got dressed for nothing? So they're going to go and they're gonna do the avoda without, even though they lost. Don't they realize this is Avodas Hashem? And if you lost, then you're not entitled to do it. So it's people are like that sometimes. And people are, you know, even when it comes to mitzvahs, people get a little crazy sometimes and they do things that are inappropriate in order to be able to grab the mitzvah. Rav Sheshes Amar Big Day Kodesh. Rav Sheshes said that they would dafka do it wearing Big Day Kodesh. Diyam Big Day Chol, because if they're wearing Big Day Chol at the time of the pious, agav chavivusei mikru va'avdi, because of the chavivus of the avoda, sometimes the person who wins the pious won't wait to change his clothing. He's going to be so excited about the win that he's going to go right away to to do the avodah, and he's going to forget that he's wearing big day chol, and he's got to change his clothing because it's something that was very exciting to them to be able to do the avodah. So Rav Nachman now brings a raya that they were mefayis big day chol. I'm Rav Nachman mina aminala. What's the basis? What's the source for my opinion that they were wearing big day chol? The Tanan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Tamid that after they did the pious, misarun lechazanin, the kohanim handed them over to the kohanim were handed over to the chazanim. The chazanim meaning the people who were in charge of the wardrobe in the Beis Hamikdash. Right? We learned about Pinchas Hamalbish. That Pinchas Hamalbish it was called Pinchas Hamalbish because the best Malbish ever in the Beis Hamikdash was named Pinchas. So we always call him Pinchas Hamalbish. So there that his team was in charge of the wardrobe in the Beis Hamikdash. So they'd give him over to the chazanim. And these Pinchas Hamalbish and his team would take off their begadim. And at some point, all they had on were the mechnasayim. So who is this talking about? Whose clothing were they taking off? And who was left with only mechnasayim? My love, Ba'osim Shazachal Lepayis. Isn't this talking about the people who just won the raffle? So if you just won the lottery to be able to do the avoda, so you were given over to Pinchas Hamalbish, who would start changing your clothing. And at some point, you take off your big day chol and you're only wearing the mechnasayim. So and then you put on the big day kodesh. So I'm going to bring the Rosh Hashanah. Who said that Pinchas Hamalbish had to deal with the guy who won? Maybe Pinchas Hamalbish had to deal with the guys who lost. That all the Kohanim who were not zocha in the pious were wearing big day kodesh. So maybe they had to go to Pinchas Hamalbish so he could undress them from the big day kodesh since they weren't going to need it. They weren't going to be doing the avoda. And hachi nami mistaver. It's most mistaver. Like Rav Sheshes, that the Mishnah is talking about Kohanim who were not Zoch in the pious, who needed to remove Big Day Kodesh. Because if we're talking about those Kohanim who actually won and were taking off their Big Day Chol and were dressing them in Big Day Kodesh, so how do you read the Hemshech of the Mishnah? That when they would take off the Big Day Chol, they would put the Michnasayim on them and they wouldn't remove that, and then they would put on the rest of the Big Day Kodesh on top of the Michnasay Chol, meaning they'd be wearing weekday pants, we'll call it, mechnasei chol. So they would take off the rest of their weekday clothing, dress them with the big day kodesh while the mechnasei chol were still on them. And then once they were dressed in the rest of the big day kodesh, they would take off the mechnasei chol and put on mechnasei kodesh and put on their kodesh pants. And they did that for tzniyus so that they shouldn't be standing there totally arum. So it turns out that they're wearing the other big day kodesh before they put on the mechnasayim. So is that what it means? Is that possible? That's what we're talking about. That we're first dressing him up now in Big Day Kodesh, and the way we're doing it is by leaving his Michnasei Chol on until the very last minute. But the halacha is, when it comes to dressing in Big Day Kodesh, Michnasayim has to come first. So if we're really describing getting someone undressed from Big Day Chol and dressed in Big Day Kodesh, why is it that we're saying that he was wearing his Michnasei Chol up until all the rest of the Big Day Kodesh were on? The Michnasei Kodesh have to come before any other Big Day Kodesh. Tamalomar, that's the Minayin Shlo Yedover Kodem L'Michnasayim. How do I know the Michnasayim has come first? Tamalomar, Michnasayim Vadiu El Basaro. So it has to be that Rav Sheshes is correct, that the Mishnah is talking about the Kohanim who did not win the pious, that we have to remove their Big Day Kodesh. So that's what the Mishnah is telling me, that the Michnasei Kodesh would only be removed once they were wearing Big Day Chol. That was the exact opposite. They started fully dressed in Big Day Kodesh. Then Pinchas Hamalbish would remove all of their Big Day Kodesh, except for the Michnasayim, put on all of their Big Day Chol, and then remove their Michnasayim, and put on the Michnasei Chol. The Idach and Rav Nachman said that the Mishnah is talking about the Kohanim who won the raffle, and they had started off wearing Big Day Chol, and what this is all about is about dressing them in Big Day Kodesh. Hello, Kasha. That's not really a Kasha. Miksachi Katani. What the Mishnah really means to say is not that they had their Michnasei Kodesh were the last thing that was put on them because they were wearing the Michnasei Chol until the last moment. No. What it means is Ad Shodan Alein Big Day Chol Malbishnos Michnasei Kodesh. That while they're still wearing their Big Day Chol, all of their Big Day Chol, the first thing they would remove are the Michnasei Chol, and at that point they would put on the Michnasei Kodesh before they would remove all the rest of the Big Day Chol. So Vahim Afshitin Son, Big Day Chol, then they would take off the Big Day. So the first thing they would do, remove the mechnasei chol. Then they would put on the mechnasei kodesh. So now he's wearing fully big day chol, except for the mechnasayim or kodesh. Because the first bag of kodesh you have to put on is the mechnasayim. So at this point he's wearing mechnasei kodesh and big day chol. Then they would take off all the big day chol, and he's wearing only the mechnasayim, and then they would dress him in the rest of the big day kodesh. So at one point, as he was changing, all he had were the mechnasayim big day kodesh. So that's what it means, that that's all the Mishnah is trying to tell us. So that's the basis for Rav Nachman's Shita, right? It was Amar Rav Nachman Mina Amila. How do I know that they would do the pious with Big Day Chol based on that Mishnah that appears in Maseches Tamid? Now the Gemara turns to the flip side. Amar Rav Sheshes Mina Amila. How do I know that they would do the pious wearing Big Day Kodesh? So Detanya, because there's a Braisa that tells us as follows, that Lishkas Hagazis Kemin Basilki Gedola Haisa. It was like this large room with a very high ceiling that was pious b'mizracha, and they would do the pious in the eastern side of the room. And v'zaken, one of the dayanim one of the elders who would describe to them how the pious was done and would monitor the whole system, was yoshev b'marava, would sit on the western side of the lishchas hagazis, v'kohanim u'kafin v'omdin kimin b'cholyar, and the kohanim were sitting in a circle like a piece of jewelry that's a circular piece of jewelry called a becholyar. Va'mimuna ba v'notal mitznefes me'rosh shalachman. Then the person who was mimuna la payasos, the kohen who was in charge of the payasos, would take off the mitznefes, the hat of one of the kohanim. V'yodin shemenu payis maschil, and they knew that that's where they would start the count, because the payas was not by drawing lots; it was by saying a number. Everyone's sticking out a finger and counting all of the fingers, but he had to know where to start, so he would start with the guy whose hat he removed. V'isal kadaitoch big dechol. But if we're talking about people who are wearing big dechol, mitznefes, big dechol, mi'ika, is there a mitznefes in big dechol? How could we say that the Muna would take the mitznefes off of his head? The mitznefes implies that he's wearing mitznefes, and a mitznefes is one of the big day kodesh, but not big day chol. So isn't this a raya, says Rav Sheshes, that in fact when they would do the pious, they were already wearing big day kodesh? Says Gemara, what are you talking about? There's a mitznefes but big day chol. So people did wear hats. Kiditani Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda taught in the Braisa, v'item Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, kohen shaslo imo kutones, if his mother made a robe for him to serve his big day kodesh, do the avodah with Ovid ba avodas yachid, he's allowed to do avodas yachid with it. He could take out the kaf and the machta that the kohen gadol had to be motzi from the kodesh hakadoshim on Yom Kippurim. That's an avodah that only he can do because he's the one that brought them in there. But he's not allowed to do avodas hatzibur. So there's a mitznefes in big day chol as well when his mother made him a mitznefes. So you could have a mitznefes. That's not, in fact, big day kodesh. So it could be that they were mefayis but big day chol, and the Muna would take off the mitznefes that his mother made for him. That it wasn't a mitznefes that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara discusses, once we mentioned the lishchas hagazis, so the Gemara discusses the what the lishchas hagazis looked like, and we're going to learn from the Braisa that we just quoted about the pious b'mizracha and the zakin yoshev b'ma'arava, that they would do the raffle on the eastern side of it, and the zakin was sitting on the western side of it. We're going to learn out a couple of halachos. Amar Rabbi Yishma Mina. We learn from this braisa, first of all, that lishchas hagazis chetzia b'kodesh v'chetzia b'chol. That the lishchas hagazis was half in kodesh and half in chol, meaning half of it had kedushas hazara and half of it did not have kedushas hazara. Ushma Mina shnei psachim ayila echad psach b'kodesh v'echad psach b'chol. It also had two doors into and out of the lishchas hagazis, one that opened up to kodesh, to the Azara itself, and one that opened up to Chol, to an area outside of the Azara. So how do I see both of these things from the Braisa? So first, let's take the first thing. How do I know that half of the actual room of Lishchas HaGazis was B'Kodesh and half of it was B'Chol? Because if you're going to tell me that the entire Lishchas HaGazis was B'Kodesh, that it all had a din of the Azara, well, it said in the Braisa, Zakin Yoshev B'Ma'arava, that there was a Zakin that was sitting on the western side of Lishchas HaGazis. Amar, but we already know that Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara El Malchi Beisav Bulvad. Nobody is allowed to sit in the Lishkos Hagat. No one is allowed to sit in the Azara except for descendants of the Malchus Beis David. So these are the Melech from the Malchus Beis David. So even a Melech who's not from the Malchus Beis David is not allowed to sit in the Azara. That's why the Malchi Yisrael were not allowed to sit in the Azara when there was a split of the Malchus between Rechavam and Yeravam. So that was a very big deal. That was a very big problem for Yeravam, that he was not a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. And that's why he set up a whole different place for Klal Yisrael to be able to regel and to bring do different avodos. And he set up these Igle Azav, which we don't have a good history with Igle Azav. But he did it anyway, because he didn't want, and he blocked off all the roads that people shouldn't be allowed to be able to regel, because that would, it would undermine his entire Malchus if people were able to regel and they went to the Beis HaMikdash. Because what would they see? That Rechavam is sitting there in the Azara, and Yeravam doesn't get to sit in the Azara because he's not a descendant of the Malchus Beis David. That's so the people aren't just allowed to sit there. So how could it be that the Zaken is sitting on the Marava of the Lishkos HaGazis if in fact it all had Kedushas Azara? So it had to be that half of it did not have Kedushas Azara. V'isal kedai toch kula b'chol. No, maybe you'll tell me that the whole thing is b'chol. Well, pious b'mizracha, if it really had a status of chol, of not having Kedushas Azara, how can we describe that the pious was done on the eastern side of it? V'be'inan, but after all, don't you need b'veis elukim nahalich b'ragash? That in order to be mekayim the pasuk in Tehillim, that b'veis elukim nahalich b'ragash, that when people would hear the amrav that were gathering for the pious, v'leka, if it was done b'chol, so then the pasuk is not meskayim, because b'veis elukim is only the azara. B'veis elukim is not chutz le'azara, and the whole idea of doing these payasas over and over again was that it created a whole tumult in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaLukim Nalich Baragesh, that they felt the sense of something was going on when they would do these payasas. Well, you wouldn't have that if the payas was in a room that was not, didn't have Kedush Sazara. Ela Shmamina Chatsi B'Kadush Chatsi B'Chal. Since the payasas had to be done dafka in an area that had Kedush Sazara, because that is the only way to fulfill Beis HaLukim Nalich Baragesh, and since there was a Zaki that was Yoshev in the room where they did the payas in the Lishkos HaGazis, so that's how I know that it had to be also be chal. So it must be that it was half chal and half kodesh. Now, how do I know this din that no one is allowed to sit in the azara except for malchus beis david bulvad? So Rashi points out that the issue yeshiva ba'azara is derived from the psukim that describe amida ba'azara. It says la'amod l'shareis in Devarim Parak Yirches v'sheres b'shem Hashem elokav kechal echav halaviyim ha'omdim sham lefnei Hashem. So Rashi points to those psukim. The Rashash just points out that in the raya from the pasuk la'amod l'shareis, that it's not such a great raya, because the shareis sounds like only b'shas avoda that you're not allowed to sit. Like the Gemara in Zvachim Chav Gimel learns that mikan sheyoshev pasal avoda la'amod l'shareis, when you're going l'shareis, then it has to be la'amod, then you have to be standing up. But when it's not l'shareis, maybe then you could sit down. So the Rasha says l'chora, that's not a great raya. Shelo b'shas avoda, we don't find an iser to sit down. So he quotes that Rashi later on quotes these psukim and adds v'lo matzinu b'yeshiva, meaning we don't find anyone ever sitting in the Azara, even so must be us, or even Shalom B'Shas Avoda, otherwise we would have mentioned somewhere along the way that somebody does sit in the Azara. The Mishnah Lemelech in the 7th paragraph of Tzbeis HaBechira asked the Stira from Rashi over here in Rashi Mesech Sanhedrin, where Rashi in Sanhedrin says that it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai, not from Psukim. So he says the Psukim that Rashi quotes over here must only be in Asmachta. So that would solve the problem, right? That the Rashash says these Psukim aren't so muchach that this is what they're trying to tell you. So Mishnah Melech would say, yeah, that's why Rashi tells you elsewhere. It's really Allah al-Moshe Misinai. These Psukim are only in Asmachta. How do I know Malchi Beis David are allowed to sit in the Azara? The Pasuk in Shmuel Beis says, V'yavo Melech David v'yeshuv v'fnei Hashem v'yomer mi anochi Hashem elokim u'mi beisi ki haviyosani ad halom. So haviyosani, that means that it's mutter for me to sit. So that's how Rashi learns, based on the Gemara we're going to have later on. So it's derived from the way David HaMelech spoke about how he was allowed to sit. So asks the Ritva, I don't understand. There was no Beis HaMikdash when David HaMelech was around. So how could it be that David HaMelech is referring to his right to sit in this place, Haviyosani, that he's allowed to sit in the Azara? So the Ritva points out he was in the Mishkan Shiloh and Nova Givon, and Malchi Beis David were. He says even in the Mishkan there was a Makom Mekudosh that had the same status as the Azara, and it's usher to sit there. So from the fact that David sat there, we see that there's a special heter for the Malchi Beis David. It could be that the Yisr even began even on the Makom Azara, even if it's not there's no Beis Hamikdash currently built there, but the Makom Azara, if you assume Kedush Rishon Kitchel Shaitiv Kitchel level for sure, but what about beforehand? What about before the Beis Hamikdash was built? Was that makom already a makom that was asur b'yeshiva? So Pashas says it's not a makom that's asur b'yeshiva. Only once they built the Beis Hamikdash, it's a makom that's asur b'yeshiva. But there is a comment Maril Diskin has in his commentary on the Torah to explain a medrash that seems to assume that the Yisr Yeshiva already applied beforehand, because when the pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the burning bush, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Al Tikrav, don't come closer. You have to take off your shoes before you come any closer. So there's a medrash, an unusual medrash over there. The medrash says Mikan Shemalchus Bikesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for Malchus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned him down and said, "You're not going to get Malchus. Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes." So the Maral Diskin said, "What do you mean Mikan Shemalchus Bikesh? Where do you ever ask for Malchus? What do shoes have to do with Malchus?" So Bikias, Maral Diskin said, "There's a Gemara Maseches Chulin that tells us that one of the Amoraim, because his mother used to take such good care of him and used to anoint him with all sorts of oils that improved his dexterity and his flexibility, that even at the age of 80, he was able to remove his shoes while standing up. But normally, a person who's 80 years old cannot remove his shoes while standing up." So says the Gemara. An odd line in the Gemara. Okay, so an 80-year-old has to sit down to remove his shoes. It's an unusual thing for an 80-year-old. So says Maral Diskin, Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old. So if he wanted to remove his, he wanted to go closer and then remove his shoes, he would have had to sit down. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Al tikrav halom, don't come any closer. Shal nalechem al raglecha, take off your shoes before you come any closer, because you're on a, because the makom that shato omid shom is ad maskodesh. You're not allowed to stand on ad maskodesh. You're not going to be allowed to remove your shoes on ad maskodesh, because ein yeshiva ba'azara el malchus peisav bulvad." So says the medrash, malchus pikesh. David HaMelech is looking for malchus. That's pretty clever. I just don't know if it halachically works out. Unless you say when the hashras hashchina was there at the burning bush. So the Hashras Hashchina was there with the concentration of Hashras Hashchina, at least that you would have of the Azara. So maybe that's why he was the Ein Yeshiva Bazar al Machlus Pesav Bulvan. So, okay, so the Gemara proves a second point from the Brisa that we quoted, that the Lishcha must have had two doorways, one that was open to Kodesh and one that was open to Chal. So, we learn from this Brisa that there were these two doorways, because if you're going to assume that Pesach Echad Yeshla, Upasoch, Kodesh, that there was only one doorway and it only opened up into the Kodesh, so Zakin Yoshev Ma'arava, how could it be that a Zakin would be sitting there? V'hatnan, but the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Ma'aser Sheni, Halashachos HaBnuyos B'chol U'Psuchos LaKodesh Tochen Kodesh, that any room, even if it was physically located on an area that was not in the Azara, that was in Chol, but it opened up into Kodesh, the whole room had the status of Kodesh. So if there was only one door to the Lishchas HaGazis and that door opened up into Kodesh, it wouldn't even matter where the Lishchas HaGazis was built, the whole room would be Kodesh, and no one would be allowed to sit there except for Malchus Beis David. And if you can say that, okay, so there was only one doorway, and the doorway was opened up into Chol, well then, Pais B'Mizracha, how could they do the Pais in the eastern side of the room? But none, but after all, doesn't the Mishnah say, Pnuyus B'Kodesh P'suchas Chol Tochen Chol, that any room that's, even if it's built in the part that has Kedush Sazar, it's physically located in an area that should have Kedush Sazara, but its only doorway is open to the Chol, then the whole room has a din of Chol, and then they wouldn't be allowed to do the pious there, because Bebei Selukim, Nahalech Baragesh, everyone is supposed to have a sense of excitement in the Bei Selukim when they do the Piyasos. So it must be that in fact there were two doorways, one was Pesuach B'Kodesh, one was Pesuach B'Chol. This idea, Bei Selukim, Nahalech Baragesh, tells us, raises the question, since they had to do a pious B'Kodesh, why weren't they Mephias in the Azara itself? I mean, if you're doing the pious B'Kodesh, what do they have to do it for in the in Lishkos HaGazis, which is Chatzi Chatzi? Do it all the way in the Azara. So Tosfos quotes from Ben Utam, since they would take the mitznefes of one of them off, so it's a genai to stand that way without a mitznefes in the Azara. That's improper, that they're going to remove someone's hat while they're in the Azara. So Pashas, what Tosfos means is that the mitznefes is a malbush shel kavod, and it's not derech kavod to be in the Azara in such a way without a mitznefes. Nefes. But it could be also that the Chisaron is that being Bli Mitznefes means that he has Rosh Megula. I mean, it's not just that he's not wearing the Mitznefes. It means that his head isn't properly covered. The Sefer Magin Giborim quotes from the Meiri that he saw in Beis HaKnesses that they had, that they would take off the Sarvel Shaleim, the turban that they would wear, and the hat that was on their head, and they would stand there like they were in their house with a small small yarmulke, and they would say Zmirus Ubrachos, I mean Psukit Zimra and Birchus Kriyashma, because of the heat, even though it was not the derech to be Omid Bifnei Gedolim in that way. And the Tshuvas HaLevach Shlomo, he said, Shlomo Kluger writes that which we say that you're not allowed to go Dalet Amos B'Gilui Arosh sounds like less than Dalet Amos is Mutter. That's only B'Miktzas Gilui Arosh, and that's only where that's where it's Aser, only Dalet Amos Tachas Avir Shemayim, and less than that is Mutter. But B'Gilui Kol Arosh, it's even Aser to go less than Dalet Amos. So you see that Dalet Amos is Aser even when only part of the Rosh is Megula. So it could be that you're standing in the Azara to be Megala, part of the Rosh, not to wear the Mitznefes, that maybe that would be problematic. So the very first tshuva in Igros Moshe deals with this issue. Right? The very first tshuva of Moshe has in Igros Moshe is about covering your entire head or covering only part of your head. Right? It's about how big a yarmulke has to be. Rav Moshe himself had a very, very large yarmulke. It covered his entire head. But his first tshuva in all of Igros Moshe is basically explaining why he thinks you're allowed to wear a small yarmulke. So he goes through all the Marim Mekomos on the Gemara's in Kiddushin about head covering. So a fascinating topic. Some people were unhappy with Rav Moshe that the very first tshuva in the Holy Gris Moshe has to be about kula, about wearing a small yarmulke, that people shouldn't look so religious. Let him write something frumer in the very first tshuva in Gris Moshe. So Rav Moshe was all Torah. He was just analyzing what it says in the halacha. There's no difference one tshuva and the next tshuva. It's all an analysis of a sugya halacha. Anyway, so that's the potential idea over here of wearing the mitzvahs. At least in the Makom Kodesh, we certainly see that there's a higher sensitivity to the way one covers their head, because the covering of the head is supposed to create a sense of Ema and Yira when you're in front of the Ribbono Shalom. That's supposed to be a heightened sensitivity. So therefore, covering the head in the Azara was even more important than it was outside of the Azara. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going to... We had said back on Daf Chaf Beis that there are four payasos that they would do each and every day, but we only described one of them so far, even though they would gather four times. So now, HaPayas HaSheni, the Mishnah describes the second payas that they would do, and there were 13 Kohanim who were Zocha in the second payas. There were 13 different jobs that were distributed in the second payas. Number one, Mi Shochet, who shechted the Karban Tamid. Number two, Mi Zorik, who was Zorik the Dam of the Karban Tamid on the Mizbech. Number three, Mi Midashim Mizbech HaPrimi, who would remove the ashes from the inner Mizbech, where the ashes from yesterday's Ketores were left. Number four, Mi Midashim is a menorah, who would take out the wicks and the ashes from the menorah, and the Umi Male Evarim, and also who would take the Kevesh, who would bring up the limbs to the ramp of the Mizbeach, and which is the same one, that's still number four. And number five, Mi Male Evarim, the Evarim break down into the next few, meaning the Harosh Varegel. One person would take the Rosh and the Regel, and one person would take the two forelegs, and another person would take the tailbone and the left hind leg, and another person, someone else would take the chaza, the fats of the chaza, that meaning like the bottom of the animal's body, as well as the neck of the animal, and they were connected, and they were connected with the liver and the heart and the lungs, and another person, Vishteya Defanos, the two sides, the rib cages of the animal, and another person, Vakirbayim, the Me'ayim of the animal. So those six Kohanim were designated to take, the original four that we mentioned of cleaning of the Shochet, the Zorik, the Medashim, the Medashim, the Menorah, then six different Kohanim that would bring up the different parts of the Karban Tamid up to the ramp of the Mizbeach. So now we're at 10. Now the 11th Kohen, Vasolest, we bring the Solest for the Karban Milcha, mincha that was brought together with the carbon tamid, and the 12th one vachavitin would bring the minchas chavitin that was made in a machvas. That's why it's called chavitin, that the kohen gadol was makrav every day. And 13th person vahayayin would bring the wine which was from the nesachim that were brought in the mizbeach at the time that they would bring the carbon tamid. So 13 kohanim were able to bring all of these different parts. Three kohanim that were zocha to bring the solos lemincha, the chavitin, and the yayin, and another six kohanim with the evarim, and the four kohanim that we had at the beginning. So shlosh asur kohanim zachav, a total of 13 kohanim. So Ben Azai disagrees with the description over here, and he says, Amar Ben Azai, lefnei Rabbi Akiva, mishum Rabbi Shua, derech hilucha haya karev. The way that you just ordered the six different parts of the karban tamid, the seder advarim, the way that we just quoted it, is not the seder with which it was brought up to the mizbeach. In fact, the seder instead with which it was brought up to the mizbeach was derech hilucha, the seder that the animal itself would walk, that whatever part of the body was further in the front, that would go first up to the mizbeach, up to the ramp of the mizbeach, and whatever part of the body was further behind, that would go later on. So when they would do this pious hasheni that we're describing over here, did they just determine through the pious who would shecht, and they would not do a pious for the others? It would just be whoever's to his right would then be the one who was the right of the shochet would be the next guy, and then meaning the 12 guys to his right would be the next people who did the other 12 avodos. Or no, maybe they did a separate pious for each of these 13 avodos. So says Mar Tashema, let's bring a raya number one. So raya number one as to whether they did separate payasos or was one big pious was arba payasos hayushab. The Mishnah said in Daf Chav Beis that they had a total of four payasos. If there were 13 payasos in this Mishnah alone, then it's hard to describe that there were only four payasos. This Mishnah alone had more than three times that much. So Amar Nachum Yitzchak Hachkamer, arba pa'amim nichnas l'hafis. No, the Mishnah never meant to say that they only did four payasos. It meant that there were four times that there was all tumult bebeis alukim na'alech baragesh, where everyone was where the whole crowd was assembling. But in each instance where they gathered to do payasos, then there were more than one pious. So Gemara is going to bring a couple of more rayas. Raya number two, Tashema. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that Tosefta tells us, Rabbi Yehuda says when they were mefayis for the ketores, lo haya payis lemachta. They didn't do an additional payis, who gets to bring the gechalim in the shovel from the mizbeach achitzon to the mizbeach hapanimi, ela kohen shezacha b'ketores, omer lezeh sheimau, zachei mi b'machta. The kohen who was zochem in the ketores would tell the guy standing to his right, come on, can you come with me, you bring the shovel. I mean, I'm going to do the ketores because I won, and you come with me, and you do you bring the shovel of coals. So you see, they didn't do a separate pious for the different elements of the ketores. It was one pious, and whoever was standing next to him got to schlep along. So when it came to the, not schlep along, got to also participate. So when it came to the avodas hatamid, mistama, they did the same thing. One, they were mefayis on the shechita, and whoever was standing next to him got to do the other 12 parts. So it says, Marno, shiny machta ketores, techad avodahi. No, the machta and the ketores, it's one avoda, because the whole avodas hamachta is only for the purpose of the ketores. So that's why it was they didn't do a separate pious, but the avodas hatamid, where each one is an avoda b'fnei atzma, it could be that they did a separate pious for each and every avoda. Ikeda amri, others prove from the brisa the opposite, that dafka machta uktaris tachad avodihi, that yeah, by the machta uktaris, where it's all one avoda, that's where the guy who was standing next to him would come along. Avol shar avodas by pious, it must be that by the avodas of the karban tamid, where each avoda is different, then it does require a pious. So Gemara says, no, machta srichle. Maybe Tafka wants to highlight this point about the shovel, because by the ketores, because salkadai techamina hol v'lo shchicha. I might have thought to say that since the making of the ketores is not shchiach, because it's only made twice a day and not more, because the ketores is not brought in a davar like other karbanos, umaatra, and it's ma'ashir, and whoever is osek in it, so niskan la'payis b'fnei atzma. So I would think that we should, because of its chashivos, it should warrant its own payis. So kamash malan, that's what Rebbe tells me, not so. Even if the makta, they didn't make its own separate pious, and kol shekein with all other avodas, meaning even something that's as coveted as participating in the ketores. Why is it so coveted? Because it's a skula for ashirus, and it's not an opportunity that comes up all that often. You can't just bring it whenever you want. So it's a skula for ashirus. That's why chadashim l'ketores bo, they would always have new people doing it because it's a skula for ashirus. So you don't want. So I would have thought that they really require a pious in such a case. We're going to see later on in Daf Chavav also that Davra Shchiach is not Ma'asheres. So the Rama writes in Yordeis in Reish Samachay Sif Yod Aleph in the name of Ma'aril that a sandik is like a makdir ktoris. A sandik at a bris mila is like a makdir ktoris, and therefore there's a minag not to give two children to the same bal bris because the ktoris is chadashim ktoris chadashim l'ktoris. You're supposed to always have new people in order to spread the wealth. So Nod Bihuda writes in the Chuvin Yordeis in Peivav that a moel doesn't have the same bracha of Ashirus like the sandik does, because not everybody could be a moel. You have to be trained to be a moel, and since there aren't that many people that are expert moelim, so the mitzvah of mila is considered very shchiach, meaning you rarely have a moel that does a bris every once in a while. Meaning if you have a moel living in a robust Jewish community, he's normally busy. So it's not something that if the whole school of Ashirus is only the rarity of the event, but since there are so few people who are qualified to be a moel, it's not at all rare for him, so mele it's not a school of Ashirus. So that's why only the being a sandik is a school of Ashirus, because for each individual that's a sandik, they don't get to do it too often. So that's where the minute comes from. The Rama says that we don't give sandik to the same person over and over again, but we do give moel to the same. In fact, there's an understanding that if a person was a moel for some of the children in the family, that you try to use him again for the other children. He has kedima in terms of getting the job for the other kids in the family as well. So Tashma the Elimar says, let's bring a third raya. That they didn't do a pious for each and every avoda. One guy got the shechita satamid, and the 12 people next to him came along with him. Shemami, no, that's explicit, right? That they only did one pious for all 13 kohanim. So pious hasheni. Then the Mishnah said that we decide who's shochet, who's zorek, soybailu. Mi makabel. Shochet makabel? Who do we assume does the Kabbalah Saddam? Do we assume that the Shochet should do the Kabbalah Saddam? Diamond Zorik Mikabal Agav Chavusul Mikabal Elukul Adam? Because if we were to have the Zorik be Mikabal Adam, he might be so excited to be Zorik that he may not wait to be Mikabal all the Dam. He's just going to run when the cup is half full to go and be Zorik the Dam because he's going to be so excited. Oh, Dilma Zorik Mikabal Diamond Shochet Mikabal Zim the Shachet Zar. Maybe Dafka the Zorik should be Mikabal because sometimes Shchitas Ksher Bazar. So sometimes you'll have a non Kohen doing the Shchita. And if we say that the Shochet is the one that does the Kabbalah, then Azar sometimes is going to end up doing the Kabbalah, and Azar is not allowed to do the Kabbalah. So Tashma says, we'll bring a raya. Ben Katan Asa Shemos Adad L'Kior. He made 12 spouts to the Kior to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Kdeshu Shemos Rachav Kohanim Hasukin B'Tamid Mekatshin Yidayim Raglayim Basachas. So that all 12 of the Kohanim who are Osik in the Tamid could all do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim at the same time. Our Mishnah said there are 13 Kohanim that are engaged in the Karman Tamid. So, but only apparently 12 Kohanim had to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, because the Shochet does not have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim because Shechit is Ksher Bazar, so it's not a real Avoda, so he doesn't need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. But Visal Kedadik Shochet Mekabel, but if the Shochet is also doing the Kabbalah Saddam, Kabbalah Saddam is a real Avoda. Kabbalah Saddam should require Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Fleis Rabba, so it should be back to 13. Elav Shramina Mekabel Zorik Mekabel Shramina. You see, it must be that it's a Zorik that's Mekabel, and that's why they only needed 12 spouts in the Kiyar. Some Leravach Bred Rav Leravashi, Afananami Tanina. We have a Mishnah that says just like this in Maseches Tamid. Shachat Shochet v'kibel hamakabel u'bala lizrok. Shvamina, it says the Shochet shachs, and then kibel hamakabel u'bala lizrok. The makabel was makabel the dam, and he went to be zorek the dam. So you see, it's the makabel, in fact, that's zorek. Amr ben Azay from Rabbi Akiva. So ben Azay said that I don't agree with the order of the Avarim that were listed in the Mishnah. I think derech hilucho, that it should go, the front parts of the animal go first up to the ramp of the Mizbeach. So Gemara brings a braisa where there's a machlokas tanaim, what the seder of halachas evarim to the mizbeach was. Tan Rabban, ketsa derech hilucho, harosh, what is the derech hilucho? Harosh varegel, first it would be makriv, the rosh and the back hind, the right hind leg, because the rosh and the right hind leg were brought first, hachazav ha-gera, then the chaza and the gera, and then shtei yadayim, then the two forelegs, and then shtei defanos, the two rib cages, and then oketz varegel, and then the tailbone and the regel. Rabbi Yossi Yomer derech hefsheto hayakarev, that the way, they would be makrivit in the order of the skinning of the animal. Ketzad derech sheita. What's that? Harosh v'aregel first, then ha'oketz v'aregel, then shtei defanos, then shtei yadayim, and then achazav agera. Rabbi Kiva Amar derech nitucho hayakarev. That they would be makrivit. They would bring it to in the order of the way that they would butcher it. That they would cut it up. So what's that? Ketzad derech nitucho. How does that play out? What exactly does that mean? Harosh v'aregel, then shtei yadayim, then achazav agera, then shtei defanos, then ha'oketz v'aregel. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Amar derech ilu yahayakarev. They would do it based on stature, that the higher level parts of the animal, the choicest parts would go first. So ketzad derech iluya, how does that play? What does that mean? So harosh v'aregel, hachazav agera, shtei defanos, ha'oketz v'aregel, ushtei yadayim, and that's considered derech iluya. So the Gemara is going to ask on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that it sounds that the raglayim and the adayim are not considered choice parts of the animal, because they would save them until the end. Vaksiv kol nesach tov yarech v'kasef. So it sounds the yarech and kasef are the choicest parts of the animal. So it says Gemara ahi b'kusha. When the pasuk says the yarech and the kasef are the choicest parts of the animal, that's talking about a very weak, skinny animal that doesn't have a lot of fat. But if you have a fatty animal, so then those are not the choicest parts of the animal. So those are the different shitos in terms of the what they would bring up to the Kevesh first, and Mr. Shum will continue that discussion tomorrow at the bottom of Chafei Amid Beis.
Have a nice day. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.